just praise you and praise you. David said, praise the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Our mind, our will, our emotions have, Lord Jesus, this day praised you. We will continue to praise you, and we bless you for the opportunity. And now we praise you, God, for what you're going to teach us by the Spirit. We thank you for what you're going to enlighten us by your word. And for that anointing, we just bless you. And I ask in Jesus' name that our minds be open, open, open. In the name of Jesus, amen. This time in the period of the church is called Lent. And these three Easter sermons that we are presenting to you are in the context of Jesus' body, Christ Jesus. And we started last week with we'll call him Pastor Mike, as he delivered the first sermon, which had to do with the face of Jesus. And it's always good to learn more things. And I sat down there and I learned from him. And he said that the Hebrew word for showbread means the presence of his face. The presence of his face. And so the scripture that he was assigned from 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn to it, it's in chapter 4. I just want to review by reading. It says in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 6, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of his glory, the glory of God, in the face of Jesus." In the face of Jesus. And in his sermon, he gave us the acrostic of the face, F-A-C-E. The F stood for freedom. The A stood for adoption. The C stood for contentment. And the E stood for eternity. So now we move from his face to his shoulders. Touch your shoulders. You touch your shoulders. Because we want to start the sermon on your shoulders and end the sermon with your shoulders. Your shoulders. When I think of shoulders, I think of my best finger shoulder, Terry. And I tell you, I didn't care how much pain I had. I was still going to do that, but it does hurt. So when I think of shoulders, I think of my healed shoulder in Jesus' name, and it is better. When Nancy thinks of shoulders, she thinks of her white shoulders, the perfume that she likes so much. Anyway, we're talking about the shoulders of Jesus. And the Hebrew words that are in the Bible that talk about the shoulder have a wide application. Most of it has to do with the parts of the body where the heavy loads are carried on the shoulders. You recall that in Joshua's writings, he told the leaders from every tribe to go into the very middle of the stream and pick up a large stone and put it on their shoulder and carry it and set up this monument. So the shoulders have been used so much, and that is a word that describes that. When King Saul's impressive personality was described, it said that he was, quote, "not among the children of Israel a godlier person than he. From his shoulders upward, he was higher than any of the people." And in the Bible, when it talks about carrying a staff on the shoulder, that means that's an expression of subjectivity, or maybe servitude, oppression, cruel judgment. And the other Hebrew word that talks about the shoulders is this part of the shoulders where you will have your garment, on which would be an ensign of an insignia of some kind. And it was also the place where the Levites carried the implements of the temple. They had to carry them on poles that rested upon their shoulders. Sometimes the shoulder would get chafed because of the burden. And spiritually speaking, our spiritual shoulders get that way also. Another word in the Hebrew talking about shoulders is the unwillingness to do what you've been asked to do. For example, he withdrew the shoulders, is the phrase in Nehemiah. Or he pulled away his shoulder, Zechariah. And the marginal rendering is they gave a stubborn or rebellious shoulder. You know, you give the shoulder, you've seen that. The opposite of that is to bow the shoulder in submission. Actually, you know, you could tell the whole story of the Bible with shoulders. In the very beginning, we got Noah's two sons who took a garment, a blanket, and they put it on their shoulders. It says they walked backwards to cover their father's nakedness because he got drunk and exposed himself. And that's where we can start with the shoulder business. It goes on, Abraham dismissed Hagar and Ishmael, and the scripture says he laid on her shoulder the wine and the bread. And remember when Eliezer went to look for a bride for Isaac, this woman was carrying a pitcher of water on her shoulders. I mean, you could go on and on and on. Moses instructed the moving of the ark, the shoulders. What about Samson, remember? What did he do with his shoulders? The gatepost, and it says in the Bible that he put it where? His pocket, or on his hands, or his thigh. He put it on his shoulder. And also, he ended his life by, the Word of God says, that he bowed his shoulders and he pushed over the temple. In the New Testament, enough of that. In the New Testament, one illustration. Who can remember what the shepherd does with the lost sheep? On the shoulder. On the shoulder. So now we go to the shoulder of Jesus. Have you ever heard the phrase, shoulder the responsibility, young man or young woman? And when Jesus was being led to the crucifixion area, what did he do with the cross? It doesn't use the word shoulder, but it says he carried it. And so I'm assuming that that implies that he had the cross on his shoulder, on his shoulder. So with your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah. There are two scriptures we'd like to look at today. The first one is in Isaiah 22, verse 22. Isaiah 22, 22, and we're looking upon Jesus Christ moving from his face to his shoulder on this particular segment. Isaiah 22, verse 22. I will place on his what? Shoulder. What? The key. I will put on the shoulder, this interpretation by most people of Jesus, the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. This whole segment from verse 20 to verse 24 is so full of so much that I had to restrain myself actually just to go just this one verse because it is so good about the peg in a firm place. But just verse today, verse 22, I'm going to place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. The military people have on their shoulder an ensign, don't they? Like if you are in different segments of the Army or the Navy or the Marines, you would have an ensign. So when I would be walking down the street, I would see somebody dressed appropriately. I would say, I know what he does. Well, it says here that God is going to put on the shoulder of Jesus this key. It could be just the ensign of his government, but it could be the burden of authority. It is a symbol of majesty. And the key is very, very important. God says, I'm going to put on the shoulder of Jesus the key. Now, when you have a key, you have what? You have access to what it goes to. As a matter of fact, I am the only one in this building that has the authority right now over this key. Because nobody can open the lock that this goes to without this particular key. When Nancy and I went to the First Baptist Church in Plano, the parsonage was two stories with a full basement and a big attic, and it was a big, 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 need I say, a very big house, and an old house. And would you believe that this was the key to the front door? You can see this if you were in the balcony. This was a huge key. And I just said to the deacon board, I don't want to carry this huge key. So they changed the lock. But this was the key. This was the key. The key was authority. So I said to my kids the other day, when you go home, we're going to be in church a little bit longer. When you get home, you'll want the key to my house. And I told them where the secret key is hidden. And they went right there. They had the key because it was the authority. Keys of old were very large. They were made of wood. In fact, do you know that even today in Egypt, locks are made of wood? and the key is made of wood. But then the handles could be decorated in various ways. But when it says here he shall have the key on his shoulder, there are places in the Middle East today where keys are large, and especially in days gone by, where the keys were hung over their shoulder. For example, with the keys being very big, they'd be tied on a rope, and you could carry around. And if you had a couple of these keys going around, you could say, wow, look at that guy. He's got some authority. He's got authority because he had the key, and it was on his shoulder, because they would have several keys that'd be tied around like this, and they would dangle. And so he has the key. So here, this is the concept. God is saying that Jesus is given the key. And what is expressed by the key that Jesus has been given by God is the authority. It's the authority. So when we're looking at the shoulders of Jesus, we are looking at the key, which represents the authority of him. In fact, if you turn your Bibles to Matthew 16:19, you can read it in another manner. Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now, wasn't that sort of what we read back in Isaiah 22? To refresh your memory, it says, I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. So when Jesus is giving to his disciples through, at this point, Peter, he is giving them the authority. And that's what the key on the shoulder of Jesus represents. Authority. But there's one other thing it represents. And again, in Isaiah, would you turn to Isaiah 9:6? Isaiah 9:6. It's a familiar verse. And again, there's a lot in the one verse. So we just pick up on just one part of it. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Just that one phrase in verse 6. I will put on his shoulders what? The government. So we have a key, and we have the government of his shoulders. The government. The kingdom of God. The government of God upon the shoulders of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, it says in verse 18, familiar, Jesus came to them and he said, authority, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This authority that Jesus has. And when Paul writes and in 1 Corinthians, let me just read chapter 15, verse 24 and verse 25. It says, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The end will come, it says earlier in verse 24, and after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. So on the shoulder of Jesus, not is just the key of authority, but here we have the government. We have the government on the shoulders of Jesus. And when you think about the government, I just think about the government in the world today. You know, governments have come and governments have gone. There have been good governments and bad governments. And right now we got all kind of, we got messed up governments in Europe. We got it in the Middle East. We got it in Africa. We have it south of the border. We just got governments all mixed up. But the government that has been placed upon the shoulder of Jesus is an everlasting government, one that is not going to come and go. It is established, it is firm, and with history recording the rise and the fall of hundreds of governments, it's not soul with the Lord. Hallelujah. The government of God, of which we are a part right now, is an everlasting government. It's on his shoulders. The reality, the kingdom of God, it's like I sort of sink in and rest on your shoulders. The kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of the world. Someday God is going to take the government of this earth from the hand of the God of this world, Satan, and he's going to give it to Christ. And it's going to be a new kingdom. It's going to be a new era of a new government. No more death, as we read a moment ago. When I think about the kingdom of God coming, and the part that you and I are going to have in that as reigning as kings and priests, and a government that's not infiltrated with all kind of negative things, a government that is stable and honorable and upright and just, that's the government that's been placed upon the shoulders of Jesus. The present-day government's in a mess. Internationally and nationally and oftentimes locally, but no longer is that ever going to be with the government of our Lord. So the two things on the shoulder of Jesus is first, what? And it represents authority. And the authority has been given to you. He's got the authority. He's given you the authority. And unfortunately, we just don't use that authority as we should in dealing with the issues that plague us day by day. And the second thing on his shoulder is the government. He has the government. But in the meantime, let me just shoulder this last shoulder. Would you turn to Matthew 11:29? Matthew 11:29-30. Beginning with verse 28, Jesus is talking, and he's saying this to us too, people. He is saying, Matthew 11:28, come to me. One or two? All. All. All you who are weary. Any weary people here today? Any hands at all? Not? Okay. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Yes, we are burdened, but we know our rest is in God. And he says, I'll give you what? And then he says, take what upon me? You? The yoke. And where's the yoke placed? On the shoulders. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And further, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the figure is actually taken from the oxen with the yoke that's placed upon their shoulders. But it also signifies labor. It also signifies what we have been brought in to do with somebody else. We are like yoked together. We're yoked with Jesus. We're yoked with him. And in the Bible, when I read about people, when I read about the word yoke, I see that it's used in one area of bondage. The word yoke in the Bible is used of afflictions or crosses. It's used of the punishment of sin. It's used of the commandment of God. It's used for legal ceremonies. Jesus says, take my yoke. In other words, he is saying, take the service of God as I teach it. Take my yoke on your shoulder. Take the service of God as I teach it. Now, the contrast is not between yoke and no yoke. It's not between yoke and no yoke. But it's between my teaching, which is light, and the current scribal teachings, which were heavy. So it's not between a yoke or a no yoke. It's a yoke. It's a yoke. If you're a Christian, you're yoked to the Lord. You're yoked to him. But it's not just yoke or no yoke. It's the difference between a light yoke and a heavy yoke. For us today, the teachings of Jesus are not burdensome. They're not harsh, they're not overbearing, they're not oppressive, but they're meek and mild and gentle in his government. And his laws, were and are reasonable and they're tender, and his laws are easy to obey them. So I said, what do you mean by easy? Because it says here, my yoke is easy. So I figure I study this word easy, and it's revelation to me. It says well-fitting. That's what easy means. It means well-fitting. Now, the yokes, and I do this because if there's just one person who doesn't know what a yoke looks like, I don't want anybody to pass by yet. It's a good analogy. It's like a tandem bicycle. So this is the yoke. And we are yoked with the Lord. That means we are together this way. And I want you to be able to see that. And again, the oxen put their neck in here, their head through here and here. And this rests underneath them. And this wooden piece here rests upon their shoulders. Now Jesus said, my yoke is what? Easy. Yeah. So we bring an animal here, and what does the guy do to make the yoke? He measures it. Okay, you may go back to your stall. Okay. Now when a person wanted a yoke made, they would bring the animal in, and it would be made. And they would form it, they would make it. And then he would have the farmer bring the animal back. Because remember, the word easy is well-fitting. And so he would put it back on. No, this doesn't fit right here. I mismeasured it. So, thank you, farmer. And it may take several times going back. Are you seeing the spiritual connection here? And so Jesus says, my yoke is easy, which is well-fitting. And after several tries, the yoke just fits so good. And the only time the yoke would be painful is when I want to go this way and you want to go that way, and there's friction this way. But now what profession did Jesus have? And it says that he had a reputation that he was the best yoke maker in Galilee. In fact, it says that there was a little sign hanging over his shop, and it said, my yoke fit well. And so today, people, he is saying to me, he's saying to you, my yoke fits well. Because I have measured you with the yoke. And it does fit well. The yoke was tailor-made. My yoke has been tailor-made. Your yoke has been tailor-made to fit. And so the saying is today, the life that I give you to live is not a burden to gall you. Your life that I am letting you live is not, it's not unreasonable to assume that everything has been measured to fit. And so whatever God sends to you is made to fit your needs. Burden, he says, is light. Not that the burden is easy to carry, but it's laid on us in love, and it is meant to be carried in love, and love makes even the heaviest burden light. So as we consider the shoulder of Jesus, the key of authority, the government on his shoulder, we need somehow to consider our shoulders, our own shoulders, in the light of his yoke. So the bottom line is this: go with him yoke. Do not pull away from him, because the results will be painful. Stay right there. The yoke's been put on, carefully fashioned, just for your shoulders. And yours doesn't match yours, or yours. They're all different that way. So would you stand with your shoulders? Lord Jesus, we just stand with you. We stand with you. Because it was Jesus who said, take my yoke upon you. Place that yoke on your shoulder. Shoulder the responsibility that I have given you in all different areas. And Lord, we just proclaim to you this day that we are grateful that we are yoked to you. And we're also grateful, Lord, that as we stay with you and not get behind you or ahead of you, but as the oxen would do, stay right astride with Jesus, that you're going to lead us in the way. And when we don't know which way to go, if we trust you, God, because we are yoked to you, you will lead us and you will guide us and you will direct us to the place you have us to go. For the face of Jesus, we're grateful because looking into that face, we do find that eternity. We thank you for the shoulders, which represents that government of eternity that will be someday world without end. And God, as we do stand before you now, I just pray in the name of Jesus that the needs that are here physically would be met in Christ Jesus. That the needs that are represented here financially would be met in Christ Jesus. That the needs that are represented here emotionally would be met in Christ Jesus. And we take our stand with you, for you, and in behalf of others in the accomplishment of this in the name of Jesus. And the people said, amen. Amen. Before you leave, if you are here and you would like to be prayed for, let have laying hands laid upon you or to anoint you with oil. We want to give you the opportunity. And never go away without Jesus in any way. Anyone? Then go to somebody and say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here.